Hello, everyone. This is Dave Charest, content manager here at Constant Contact, and welcome to another episode of the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. Joining me this week are my esteemed colleagues. Mr. Mendelson, please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Josh Mendelson. I work in product marketing here at Constant Contact, and today I'm having a fabulous Wachusett blueberry, a nice local brew here in Massachusetts. We haven't started making the rounds yet, Dave, to different regions with our beer choices.
Ooh, we haven't. We'll have to start doing that
soon. So please send in more suggestions. We've already got a couple other ones.
We are all rather enjoying this Wachusett blueberry, though. It's quite delicious, I will say. Danielle?
Hi, I'm Danielle Cormier, and I'm a social media specialist here at Constant Contact.
I'm Dave Gerhart. I work on the marketing communications team here.
And I guess that's it.
Yeah. Oh, short staff. We're short staff.
Yes. So we're missing a couple of people today, you may notice, Miss Ayotte and Miss Collier, who both of whom were traveling this week for National Small Business Week, which is actually what we wanted to start this week discussing a bit about. So Mr. Mendelson actually spent some time traveling this week as well, so maybe Josh, you can give us a quick rundown on some of the things you learned during National Small Business Week.
Sure. So I was lucky enough to go to events in both New Orleans and Rhode Island. Anyone who knows me knows I'll take any excuse to go to New Orleans, so that was an easy sell. But really, two great packed events, talking about engagement marketing, and really the big takeaways were three main things. One is, you know, small businesses know, and I think we as marketers know, today you really just need to engage with people wherever they are. You know, whether that for your business is in person, whether that's through social media, whether that's through email, the power's in the control of the audience, and you really need to embrace that and work with your audience where they want to be worked with. Mm-hmm. The second is that, you know, if you're struggling with trying to figure out how to use technology to get your next great customer, you are not alone. I mean, this is something that big businesses, small businesses, medium-sized businesses, they're all trying to figure out. And I think collectively we're all still very much in the experiment and see what happens mode. And then finally, just that we have awesome customers all over the place. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, people who are passionate about their businesses, passionate about working with Constant Contact, which is great, and who are super eager to learn more and do a better job. It's, mm-hmm. it's just really fun. And, you know, we've had events all over the country this week. I think we're doing over 50 events in 1 week. And it's a really, really cool thing that I was lucky to be a part of.
Cool. For those of you who may not be familiar, the term engagement marketing, engagement marketing is actually a new book by our CEO, Gail Goodman. And it basically goes around this premise of this engagement marketing cycle where you provide an excellent experience for your customers. You entice them to stay connected with you, whether that be through your e-newsletter or Facebook, social media, or other social media site. And you engage with them, and that cycle kind of repeats itself as people are engaging with you and exposing your business to their friends who have the potential to become your customers, which is really a really pretty simplistic way of really putting how social media works and how that whole it kind of amplifies your word of mouth and that kind of thing, which is pretty neat. So we've had like what 50 women across like 50 cities during Small Business Week to give a seminars on engagement marketing and how to find your next great customer using social media, which is pretty neat. Dave or Danielle, I know Danielle's been putting a lot of information on our Facebook page from things happening on Small Business Week. Anything stick out to you?
It looks like a lot of people attended all the events. They're mm-hmm. packed, and everyone was really eager to hear all the information. Everyone did a great job tweeting pictures and quotes and posting information from the events, so I was really impressed with that, definitely.
I don't know if any of you guys got a chance to catch Erica Ayotte on the social media panel at all. Did you guys get to see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to catch some of it. It was pretty cool. It's actually a great place to, if you haven't been able to keep up with what's been going on in terms of National Small Business Week, you know, be sure to head over to Twitter and follow the Twitter hashtag for Small Business Week, which is SBW2012, right?
That's right, yeah.
And you'll find a lot of people retweeting and sharing information, things that have resonated with them that have been happening through the week. So it's been really cool to kind of see everybody get together and you know, celebrate small business, which is, I think, really cool because, I mean, I'm sure you'd agree, Dave, that small business is pretty inspirational in the sense of what they do to, one, keep their business going and kind of, you know, just small business in general the backbone of?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, these are people who are, you know, you shop at small businesses for reasons, right? You know, that you know, you build relationships with the owners and, you know, they know the
yeah.
products better. You get a better, you know, experience than you'd get at a big national store. And I think, you know, it was a great week for you know, everybody to kind of get together and share their stories and, you know, learn about marketing and new tools to kind of help them grow their business and keep that going. So.
Yeah. You know, one of the interesting things, Josh, and I'd like to hear your opinion on this, is that, you know, you know, we talk about that first step in that engagement working cycle is really about providing a wow experience. And we talk about, like Dave just mentioned, that, you know, it's, you know your customers a little better and, you know, there's just like, there's something about it. And it's like simple things that really make the difference. I mean, some of the things maybe, Josh, that you've come across that are just like, it doesn't have to be like this crazy thing that you have to come up with in order to wow people. It could just be something simple as...
Yeah, I mean, it's as simple as, you know, showing that you care.
Yeah.
You know, it's... You know, there's a restaurant in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, called Colby's, which is a great breakfast place. And, you know, they, when there's a line outside, you know, they're giving away free coffee to the people in line.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have to wait to get in. You're dying for your coffee. And
right.
they take that nothing, no cost extra step,
mm-hmm.
and they make you feel good about waiting.
Yeah.
You know, which is something you never
that's
feel
a
good
point.
About.
And that's
yeah.
the thing is, you know, the great experience, people think that it has to be all these resources, and it doesn't. You know, to follow up on Josh's story, a golf course that I play all the time, you know, I went up there on a Sunday night, and I just wanted to play a couple holes, and, you know, they don't have rates for playing one or two or three holes, but, you know, you pay either 9 or 18. And I was like, I'm going to sneak out and play a couple, and then I was like, you know what, if I just go in there, and I went there, and the guy was like, hey, I'm not going to charge you, it's after 7 o'clock, go play as many holes as you want.
Nice.
So it's
yeah.
little things like that.
Yeah.
And then the next time I come back, I'm like, sure, I'll gladly give you $60 because, you know, you let me do
yeah.
what I did.
Exactly.
And I told all my friends about it. I was like, oh, the, you know, the pro up at, you know, the Brookline Golf Club, he's the man. Let me play
yeah.
three holes for free last night.
Yeah.
It didn't cost him anything. I was the only person on the course. You
yep.
know?
So. It's so true that it's like just these simple things. Like just recently, Josh will make fun of me, but I've been doing sweaty yoga. And, you know, the place that I went to was actually I found out which is a Constant Contact customer, which was great. I was like, score. But I went in, and one of my first days back, and it gets really hot in that room, and you can kind of feel a little lightheaded and dizzy or whatever, and the instructor had given me a coconut water or whatever. The next day, I met the woman who owns the place, and I was like, oh, I owe you some money for a towel and a drink.
Yeah.
And she was like, so wait, what is this for? And I was like, well, I told her what happened, and then I was feeling kind of lightheaded, so her instructor, she's like, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's like, the towel's free, and it's like, you know, my instructor was taking good care of you, don't worry about it. I ended up spending $40 there that day because I bought a book and some apparel and stuff like that, and it's like, that $4 turned into $40 for her.
Right.
Just because, and I'm talking about the story now, and it's
right.
like, these little things that people, the stories that people want to share when things like this happen.
Well, and that's where, you know, that's where engagement marketing kind of ties in. It's not just these stories, but
mm-hmm.
it's now with social media.
Yep.
The stories that we're having right now, they're visible online,
yeah.
and they're going to stay, live online. And
yeah.
so that's really the power of providing a great experience, enticing people to
yep.
stay in touch, and then engaging with them. Because
yep.
these conversations that we're having right now, they all happen online.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even just a friendly greeting, I think when you go into a small business,
yeah.
really means a lot. The extra hello, the how are you, you don't get that at a big chain store or
mm-hmm.
in the mall. So I think just as simple as that makes a difference.
Yeah.
yeah. I think there's something about people caring as
yeah.
well, too. There's a difference between going to like a big chain where people are kind of just working
yeah.
mm-hmm.
And doing their job, so to speak, whereas people actually go and, because I've kind of got this thing for, I don't care what it is that you're doing, like I feel like whatever it is, like whether it's, you know,
exactly.
cleaning the floors or doing something, like you should be striving to do it the best that you can do it. And I think there's something about small businesses they really care about.
I go to a chain gym, there's four dudes that work at the desk. They say hi to all the girls, of
yeah.
course. You know, I walk in every night.
So you just feel left out?
I feel left out. Like, say hello.
And you're a good-looking guy.
I'm a good-looking guy. You know, it's unbelievable. You usually don't have sleeves on, you know. You know, just say hello. And it's just
mm-hmm.
like you – it's like they don't care about your business. And
right.
you know, but then the opposite of that is
go to my barber. Honestly, this guy has no clue who I am, and I know he has no clue who I am. But every time I walk in, he's like, "Oh, you're the guy who, you know, you have that red truck," and I'm like, "No." Like, he tries, you know, and that's all that matters. It's like, I feel like he wants my business, and that's why I appreciate.
And he appreciates.
Exactly. And I would gladly give him $10 more than, you know, going to some other place.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember as a kid watching Cheers, which was just an awesome show. And, but I also remember, like, really understanding, even as a kid, the idea of being a regular, you know, where, you know, when you walk in and they all shout Norm's name, A, he's got a drinking problem, but B, you know, there's incredible value to that. I mean, there's, you know, I'll use Starbucks as an example. It's a big company that I think does a really good job at that.
Mm-hmm. Grande latte for Josh.
Yeah. But, you know, so good example. And this isn't necessarily the baristas doing it, but, you know, so I have a coffee problem and I have an automatically reloading Dunkin' Donuts card and an automatically reloading Starbucks card.
Wow.
And I get nothing for my Dunkin' Donuts card other than not giving cash. And I love Dunkin', so I don't mean to bash them. But with Starbucks, I save like 20 cents on my foofy drink that I get every day. And you see it, it's like $3.23, but then it's like $2.98, right? And every day I feel good about the fact that I'm going – or every day that I go there. It's not every day. I feel good about that. I feel like I'm getting something for being loyal.
Well, sure. And even your point about being a regular, you'd think that if you get to know this guy, he's going to give you some type of discount. But if you end up knowing him, you actually feel as a consumer, you're like, no, I don't want a discount. I want to pay this guy for the great service that I'm
getting. I think that's the thing. It doesn't always have to be a discount because I'm willing to pay more for just feeling like – I'm being, I don't know, just being treated
your
right.
Business
like, you
is
know?
Appreciated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A bar back home, you know, we know the guy, bartender, knows everybody, gives drinks for free all the time. But we all end up actually tipping him way more than the bill
exactly,
would have even been. Because, not because you feel bad because he's giving away drinks, but you're like, this is why I come here. It's an awesome experience.
Right,
because
you just feel good about it. And that's kind of what that breeds.
To the news?
Yeah, I'm going
to
wrap this up and kind of bring us into the, not that was the news, actually. We're going to move into a listener question, though.
Okay.
So there's a question that came in through the blog, actually, and the question goes, your group consists of all fairly young people. Well, thank you very
thank
much.
You, thank
yeah,
you.
Clearly, our ages aren't posted on our profiles.
We do sweaty
nice.
Yoga.
Yeah, it's all because of sweaty yoga. So here's the question. How does Facebook and Twitter relate to the older generation, or does it? For instance, I market for Supermax Tools, and we are just getting into the social media portion of things. But our target audience isn't as social media savvy as other target audiences. How then do you still get them to Facebook and Twitter? And this is from Jackie Schroeder of Supermax Tools. Well, Jackie, let's see. Does anybody want to tackle that first?
Yeah, I'll jump in. I mean, Jackie, you're thinking about it a little bit backwards, right? So, you know, like we were saying before, you want to be where your audience is.
Mm-hmm.
If they're on Facebook, and chances are they are, I mean, there's 901 million users of Facebook, the odds, and a lot of those are 45 and over, which for the record, none of us are. We're young,
right.
as you talked about.
But just to add to Josh's point there, we just saw a stat the other day that it was like 46% of the people that are on Facebook are 45.
Right,
older.
Right. I mean,
so,
it's a significant amount. I think it's a little bit of an outdated notion that Facebook is a younger crowd. In fact, you know, I remember a couple years ago when everyone's parents started getting on Facebook, and you saw all these articles about how, oh my God, Facebook is ruined. And I started going around saying, no, this is what makes Facebook a viable business. Because we all maybe will rebuild our network somewhere else, but my mom is not going to rebuild her network on another platform.
And
that's a good point.
My mom, it's the same thing. It gave, you know, 2 years ago, gave her access to hundreds of friends that she hadn't talked to in years. Not close enough people where she'd pick up the phone and call them, but certainly close, you know, I'll write in your wall or something like that. So
And I think, you know, from a strategy standpoint, I think it's really the same as anything else. I mean, it's thinking about, you know, what does your audience want from you? Why should they connect with you? What are you going to deliver to them? How do you show off your expertise? How do you give them content that's exclusive for them as a fan?
Yeah.
You know, so really making sure, like we talked about, that you're understanding what they want and you're delivering that to them. And, you know, you can start by just asking. You know, asking the people you know, whether that's in person or on Facebook or preferably even both. Just ask them what they want and serve their needs, not your own needs.
And I think it also goes back to the point that you know, always – you know, ask is what are your goals? It seems simple. We say it all the time, but you know, you, what's the problem you're trying to solve, and is having a presence on Facebook going to help you achieve that goal? Because if you're realizing I want to be on Facebook because I want a new place to engage people, then that's fine, but you need to, you know, set the expectation clear. You know, I want you to sign up for Facebook. I want you to like me on Facebook, but here's why, you know. Because if you give people, like we always say, if you give people a good reason to do so, they're going to.
And if you ask them.
Yeah. And then the thing that's great about Facebook is I think there's a big difference between being tech savvy and being web savvy. I think a lot of people don't understand that they are savvier than they think, you know. You can find your way around the computer. You can find your way around the internet. It doesn't make you tech savvy. I think a lot of people can use Facebook. They just don't think that they have the ability to do so.
I think there's another way to kind of go about this, too, is that, you know, we're mentioning kind of audience and customer, and I think there's a differentiation there between audience versus customer, too, is that because we all have these abilities to kind of create media, right, we do have to think in terms of audience. So, like, you could be on Facebook, and you may not be getting your customers to like your pages or do things, but you may be getting a new audience for yourself. So depending on what information that you're putting out there, you may get people liking the page or doing this because you're doing cool stuff that aren't your customers yet. And those are people that actually may become your customers. So it's really paying attention to, you know, you're thinking about who you want to show up, but then actually listening to who does show up and then playing to that audience, because eventually that will lead them down the path of thinking of you when they need what it is that you offer. And they're usually connected to people that may need it as well. Danielle?
I think that people get too focused on fan count and how many fans they have when they really should be focused on engagement and just building relationships and not sales.
Yeah.
So maybe they're not getting any more sales, but they are building relationships with their customers they already have and continuing to have a stronger base.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one in sort of rethinking about this question too, I think there's actually a huge opportunity to engage with a less socially savvy crowd. You know, I mean, I think the more social media obsessed your audience is, the higher the bar. You know, the you know, you're going to get a lot more negative. You're going to get people who are already interacting in other places, so they're not going to interact with you. Like, there's actually a lot of really positive things about having an audience on Facebook that's not following hundreds of brands.
Well, like us, the four of us, we're tough people to market to because we're on so many channels, we're so distracted.
Yeah.
But that's a great point.
Not me, though. I buy everything.
Sucker.
Sorry, Dan.
It's all right. No, but, you know, they're not very socially savvy, not a lot of channels. That's just going to mean you're going to have more of their attention.
Yeah. Just keep it simple, and it'll be easy for them to engage back.
Yeah. And if you find, I mean, it could be as simple as having a conversation with people as they come in or when you're talking to them on the phones. And if they are on Facebook and you're finding that they're not, they really don't know how to use the tools really that well, I mean, sometimes it's just making that simple for your audience and really spelling out what it is they need to do. Go to the Facebook page, click the like button. Like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, sometimes just simple,
people like directions.
Straightforward, clear directions like that will help you
like
get
I'd be,
people to
I'd
do
I'd be willing
things.
To bet that majority of your customers are on Facebook.
Yeah.
They might not be, you know, interacting with brands the way that you hope them to do, so that's
right.
a good point. You tell them what you exactly want. I want you to go to my page. I want you to like, and here's why you should do it.
So, Jackie, I hope that helps. Somehow, and if you end up listening to this, I hope.
But
you'll,
I guess
you'll
we could
know,
give
yeah.
a couple more specific directions. So,
okay.
you know, you're talking about you know, Supermax tools. So I'm guessing that those are tools to do something with, right? So it's a great opportunity to showcase the finished product of what your products can help do, and to show how things work, or, you know, short little videos that you can use even just using an iPhone or a flip cam about how people are using your products. Just a little bit more information than what you might get from a static web page can really go a long way.
Yeah, show your tools in action. It's as simple as that. I think that people would enjoy that little 30-second video clips or photos.
If you give them something that they wouldn't have access to otherwise, and that might make them want to go learn how to use Facebook and be engaged on the platform.
Cool. Well, we've got time for one of Danielle's quick tips for some marketing advice this week. So, Danielle, what do you got for us?
All right. Well, the tip for this week is sort of a play off some of the hot topics from our Small Business Week events this week. So one of the big things that we were discussing at all the events was how 90% of consumers trust recommendations from people they know, while only 14% of those people actually trust advertising. So your customers' testimonials really carry the credibility that a marketing message wouldn't actually have. So when a friend of a friend of your business sees a recommendation that you make on social media, it's really an implied endorsement for your business. So just don't forget that with social media, the best source of new customers is from your existing customer base.
Great point. Great point. Thanks, Danielle. And thanks to all of you for listening. And a special thanks in honor of National Small Business Week to all the small businesses out there that are chugging along. We appreciate you, and hopefully we can help you along the way. Thanks, guys, for listening. We'll talk to you next time.